Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, September 15th, 2020.
Bitcoin's trading at 10,807, up from yesterday. ETH is about level at 370.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, starting today, 100,000 Bitcoin is locked in DeFi.
Yeah, this is really exciting. I mean, this is a big step. There's 100,000 Bitcoin that have been wrapped and moved onto into DeFi platforms. Two parts here. One is people who have a lot of Bitcoin will want to take advantage of DeFi. There is no really easy way to do what you can do in DeFi on the Bitcoin network. So you could go to something like BlockFi and you could use them you could collateralize your Bitcoin and get loans from BlockFi, but that requires you to be KYC'd. It is a centralized company. There's all these different issues with it. It's not DeFi. So if you want to use DeFi, if you're a Bitcoin whale, if you have a lot of Bitcoin, you're going to have to wrap it and pull it on there. Always remember especially wrap BTC is, wrapped coins the way that it's been done. So RenBTC, we talked about before, it's a little bit suspect. There's five dudes that are sharing basically a multi-sig wallet that have all of the wrapped, the RenBTC, basically custodied in there. That should be super concerning to anyone who has RenBTC, that is a counterparty risk. And that goes for WrappBTC as well. BitGo is keeping that, but there's still a very significant counterparty risk with that project. So I would be cautious about this, but at this point there's really no other good options, so that's so you are where you are if you want to hold on to your BTC. But it's exciting. It's a big step.
All right. Next, Tether is moving 1 billion more USDT coins from the Tron network to Ethereum blockchain.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I don't even know why Tether says this. I guess they try to maintain the aura of legitimacy. I think most people in the DeFi space believe that there is some chicanery going on with the Tether amounts, it is not fully one-to-one backed by US dollars. The audits have been very specious. So I think that this is really interesting. This is a way for them to say, hey, we are maintaining the overall supply that we've audited to, and we are just moving between the different blockchain protocols. It still shows, obviously, that Ethereum is the place to be right now. I mean, Ethereum is where everything is happening by leaps and bounds above the other protocols. So Ethereum is a place to be. This is just one more metric that shows that.
Okay, next, Apple censors some cryptocurrency and DeFi features of the Coinbase app.
Dude, this pisses me off so much. Apple is just, I feel like Apple's cruising for a bruising from the US government. I mean, I don't, probably not under the current administration, but at some point, if this was the 90s DOJ that was going after Microsoft, they'd be going after Apple twice as hard. The shenanigans Apple is pulling around controlling their app store is already bad enough. What really pisses me off about this, though, is that the features that they're essentially disallowing Coinbase to have on the app store are the features that are the most egalitarian, I guess would be the right word. These are features that they're not letting people have. Right now, Coinbase has the ability to stake some coins and get interest off those coins. You can stake USDC, I believe. You can stake Tron or Tezos. Sorry, I didn't do my research on this, but there's a handful, four or five coins you can stake and get, 3 to 6% interest on. This is the dream of crypto. This is what we're all here for. Like, they're not stopping banks. Like, if you have a Bank of America app and you have money in an interest account, they didn't get rid of that app because they're getting interest on their Bank of America account. So why are they doing this to Coinbase? I mean, this is super frustrating to me. It really should be very frustrating to the overall industry that it is pushing back to a lot of the ideals that I think we believe in, which is banking the unbanked, bringing more sophisticated financial instruments to people who might not have had access before, control into people's own hands for their own money. And Apple's just fighting against that. It doesn't surprise me, but it's super frustrating.
All right. I agree. Okay. Next, a Japanese cryptocurrency exchange called Fisco is suing Binance for aiding and abetting the laundering of some of the stolen funds that's coming from a hack in 2018. They are alleging that Binance facilitated the laundering of $9 million worth of crypto.
Yeah, I love this. I love this story because there's a very legitimate criticism that is often leveled against the cryptocurrency industry, which is this deep hypocrisy that when we don't want regulation, when it benefits us, we don't want regulation, but when it hurts us, we suddenly want regulation. The entire point of KYC, AML, all of these different things that we have in, especially in the US, but every country has some flavor of this, is to prevent issues like this. It is very difficult to launder money through a US stock exchange, traditional stock exchange. It's obviously doable, but it is very difficult because of all the regulations that have gone into place. Obviously, with crypto, that is not the case. And so what this is you could say that this is just a lawsuit, and that's fine. And you know, maybe there's a little bit of liability there. I think that's pretty touchy. But if you are a regulator looking at this, you're saying, hey, this is exactly why we need to do additional regulation on the cryptocurrency industry, because people are getting cheated out of all of their money. And so it's just like, you know, with DeFi, we're all saying, no, we don't need regulation. We don't need regulation. This is, you know, it's democratizing access to sophisticated financial instruments that other people wouldn't have. There's all this great stuff about, let's not regulate it for the time being. And then you have these guys being like, no, please regulate us because we got hacked. It's like, dude, this is, you know, you can't really have it both ways. We can't keep complaining about this both ways. Like right now we're in a good moment for pushing, like going full steam ahead without the regulation. And then at some point, I'm sure it will pull back, pendulum will swing, and it'll be a little bit different.
All right. So next, Tron is getting some pushback that they legitimized a project that pulled an exit scam. They whitelisted a DeFi project that apparently is a scam.
Yeah. So Tron has a Uniswap clone on their blockchain, and they don't let anyone go and post coins because Tron has had so many exit scams and so many scammy coins. So they create a whitelist of okay coins to trade. Lo and behold, someone got on the whitelist with an exit scammy coin and then did pull an exit scam. And now everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. I like this story right after the Japanese exchange story, because at the end of the day, what we're talking about is liability in these, you know, smart contracts are all fine and good and fun. And we all love them. But so much of what's going to happen over the next like few years is going to come back to traditional legal systems and how the legal systems handle cryptocurrency. I think that you can make a very compelling argument if you're a lawyer for someone that got punked by this, got scammed by this. You can make a very legitimate argument that Tron was making attestations to the truthfulness of the coin, or basically the legitimacy of the coin that they were representing. So you look at like Nikola right now, which is this, you know, Tesla competitor and is obviously a super scammy fraud company. They are getting heavily investigated by the SEC and by the NASDAQ and the, you know, where they're listed, they're a public company. That's what, you know, there is a onus on exchanges and on companies that are selling stock, especially in America, the way our liability laws work, to essentially vet these things. And that you're going to see that same thing carry over. So this, as opposed to the Japanese exchange, which I think that they are in a real world of hurt trying to actually get any money off of that. I think that people would have a lot more luck suing someone like Tron for whitelisting an obviously scam token. And we're going to see a lot more. We're probably going to see knock on legal issues from this.
All right. So quickly, MicroStrategy says that it might boost additional Bitcoin holdings past 250 million. That's according to a new filing.
It did boost. They bought another 16,000 Bitcoin today. So they're rocking and rolling. I love it. They probably already made, because I think they bought around 9,000, something in that range. They've already made a bunch of money. Like why not double down on this? They obviously believe in it.
All right. And last, more sushi swap drama.
Yeah, this is quick. Because you can't do an episode without SushiSwap. SushiSwap, the developer that, you know, Chef Nami, that had taken the money out, transferred it back. The drama came that he accidentally one of the trades transferring the money back or swapping it back into the pool. That's what he kind of promised to do. One of the trades swapping it back into the pool. he accidentally paid 500 Ethereum worth of fees on. So he essentially paid $180,000 of fees accidentally to get this in there. So I don't know, man, like there's just, it's just like, it's a confederacy of dunces. Like it's just this cavalcade of issues that keep coming through here, but it's fun to follow. We'll keep you updated on the next exciting sushi announcement or whatever.
All right. That's it for today. Thank you as always for listening. Have a good one.
Have a good one.